I've got a couple of props here today that we're going to use. So good to see you guys in the house of the Lord. And looking forward to what God wants to share with us today. That works. Yep. Okay. Well, welcome, welcome, welcome. And today, if you don't have a sermon outline, could you wave or go to your app? Because you can get that on your app. But if you want to write, we have our ushers and are ready to hand out those outlines to you. Okay, well, today's message today that God has put on my heart really came from probably a couple months ago when he started stirring in me to pray for new wineskins. And it was an unusual prayer because I've really never prayed specifically, Lord, give me new wineskins. I've been in agreement with him whenever it seems like that's what he wants to do. But particularly a couple months ago, I heard him say, ask me for new wineskins. In everything, ask me for it in your home, eyes to see it in your relationships, in your job, in everything. Ask me for the new wineskins. I said, okay. And as I came into agreement with that, a lot of things started unfolding that were new. And today's teaching is the cost of new. The cost of new. And we're not talking about a new car or a new house or new clothing, but we're talking about the cost of new according to 2 Corinthians 5:17. And that's kind of our text today. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. I might say new. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Some of you may know my background is teaching. And have become new and old things have passed away is what we like to call present perfect tense. Have passed, have become. All things have become. There's a relationship there between something that has happened in the past and something that is happening in the present. And that's why it's a present perfect tense. There's a relationship there. And it's important for us, if we're going to receive the new that God has for us, that we know what old things have passed. Amen? If you don't know what old has passed, you won't recognize new when you see it. Okay, so I'm going to ask our students who are in service today to help me a little bit because we're going to do some visual. So give me a student. Come on, Antoine. Okay, so always eager and always willing to serve. Can you take this and just stand right in the middle there? Okay, Antoine is going to represent, hold it up. What does it say? He represents the old man. Old man, okay. Now, can I get another? Come right on up. Let me tell you about the old man. Can you hold that up? Not a few steps away from him. The old man was found guilty and rebellious. Why was the old man found guilty and rebellious? Well, because here's the short version. Because God made the earth. It's the Lord's. And he made it for us to rule. He made it for man to have dominion. And he gave us the earth as our domain. To rule. We were to rule earth. And in the garden, we gave that up when we let the enemy tell us how to rule. So we gave the enemy our dominion, our domain. We gave him rights. in disobeying God to say, no, I'm giving you dominion. You rule the earth. We gave that up. And we exchanged it, our dominion, for the lies of the enemy. Please hold. And the lie of the enemy that we believed was that, oh, you mean if I take part of this, I will become wise as God and I will become like him? So we were found guilty of disobedience. Guilt and rebellious. Guilt by just one man who sinned. But rebellious by our choices to do what we want to do in following the patterns of the world, in following the lies of the enemy. That's where we were found guilty and rebellious. So, when you think about new, y'all okay right there? Okay. When you think about new, anybody ever received something new in a package and it came all together perfectly done for you? Like everything was put together perfectly. Maybe. But most new things that are really nice, assembly is required. Anybody ever got a package that says assembly required? Well, that's a little bit about our new. In order for God to get this new to us, there was some assembly that was going to be required. Now, let me just tell you a little bit about what that assembly process looks like. If you guys, I'll give you a firsthand experience first. When my husband and I were married, maybe right when we started having a family, and I thought about, oh my goodness, childcare is so expensive. And we were getting ready to have our second child. And we moved in, went from a townhome to live with my mom because I didn't know how long I needed to be off work. And she's like, well, you can help me because I'm going to be doing a lot of work in the city and staying with your grandfather. So you take care of the house and you guys stay here for as long as you need. So we were taking care of her property and two of my youngest siblings who happen to be a junior and senior, more information than what you need. But it was a full house. So my two teenage siblings who were still there and our one child and one on the way. And my mom was like, you will love this house. It's the favorite of all my houses. It had lots of big yard and lots of bushes and landscape and lots of green grass. And it was lots of trees. It was beautifully new. Y'all know what those trees do when the fall comes. Do you know what happens if you don't mow that yard? Does anybody know what happens if you don't trim the hedges regularly? And so my mom was convinced, we were probably, 28, 29. She was convinced that I would enjoy her house as much as she did. Because look at this big, beautiful house that you aren't really paying for, other than rent. But nothing compared to how much it costs to live there. Aren't you enjoying this? I'm thinking, oh, this is pretty, but it sure is a lot of assembly required. And I didn't know how much work these big, beautiful trees that provided so much shade to us in this four-bedroom house, and we only had 1.5. It was just a lot. And that was my first experience as an adult having a home that it wasn't mine, but I was kind of caretaking for it. And I remember after a couple years, we're like, okay, we can do an apartment because I got two babies now. And we were glad to move into this apartment. Hallelujah. Somebody is lifting their hand. Glory. So we went to an apartment after that. And it was a couple years later, another one came. Another child came. And it was like, oh, this is not going to work. So we went and we rented our first home. And it was kind of one of those houses in Illinois. It was a house on a slab. Anybody know what those, like, army brat type, you know, house on a slab? And the grass was not as green. And it wasn't very pretty. I don't think anybody fertilized it. We were renting, and it was a lot of dead grass. And so we would mow the grass a lot like we did at my mom's house, because we had to. Because the city ordinance was you mow it or else you pay. So where am I getting to with all of this? Well, let me tell you. It's one thing to notice how beautifully new or wonderful someone else's stuff is. Isn't it nice? Oh, it's so beautiful. Until you have to take care of it yourself. And then you got to work on all of the reasons why you're taking care of it. And I'm going to expose a little bit of that for you, of my old man. This is some of my old man thinking. When it came to the house, and I just getting free of some of this, so this old man lived there for a while. But I treated lawns in every house we lived in. I got to get this lawn done. And when it was no more fees, no city ordinances, it was just because I didn't want it to look bad to the neighbors. I didn't want to bring the property value down. There was a lot of reasons why I worked hard. Now, mind you, it can be very therapeutic and all that's fine and good. No, I'm talking about the real sweat rolling down the back of your neck work. Your back hurting, your thighs, your legs, your glutes, everything because of all of the squatting that you do in the yard. I've been in the yard lately. Can anybody tell? And it's that kind of work that produces something that, oh yeah, it'd be beautiful, but only for a season, because guess what? It grows again. And the more you prune it, the more it grows. What does this have to do with new? I'm so glad you asked. I'm going to tell you a funny story first. One of my children, I will not name any names. When they were in preschool, they were in a class, Christian preschool class. And the children were all sitting in a circle, and it was a nice Lutheran preschool. And the lady said to all of the teacher said to all the kids, "How many of you love Jesus? And he's your best friend." And all the kids' hands shot up, including my daughter, whose hand was first. Oops. Did I say daughter? One of them. Sorry. I only got two. Process of elimination. And one little boy who was not paying attention was sitting there doing something he wasn't supposed to be doing, but he wasn't paying attention. And she looked at him, and his hand wasn't up, and she said, "Well, what do you want to do, go to hell?" Hello. Hello. That was preschool. Because he didn't put his hand up that he loved Jesus and Jesus was his best friend. Now, why do I tell you that story? Because sometimes when you are new to the faith, you can have a honeymoon period and be so excited about this old man becoming a thing of the past and having all of your guilt and rebellion and all of that taken and wiped away. And it's all wonderful and fine and good, except what is the motive in your heart? Because whatever the motive in our heart is for this new that we're trying to get is what determines how kept we are and how much the old man stays buried and dead. So what is new all about? I'm so glad you asked. What happens with this? I need somebody else. Come on up. What happens with this new covenant that was all God's idea is this new covenant. I'm going to give you a blank. In Christ, all things are new. Okay, you can write that. In Christ, all things are new. And this is what the new covenant was able to bring about. And I want to share something with you about why I shared that story with you. Because as you grow in God and realize this new covenant, Antoine, you can sit right up there on the sidelines. Y'all legs get, the old man, sit right there. Okay, and guilt and rebellious, sit right there. This new covenant here, I just want to read the scripture to you. In the same way, 1 Corinthians 11:25, in the same way, he, Jesus, took the cup. I need a cup bearer. A cup bearer. Come on. Jesus took the cup, stand right there. He took the cup also after supper, and he said, this cup, raise it up. This cup is the new covenant. Raise it up. Is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink from this cup. Do it in remembrance of me. This cup is the new covenant. Okay, you guys hold it down so your arms don't get tired. Why do I say all of that? Because when we think about what Jesus did for us and how a new covenant needed to come to redeem us, because the old covenant kept us in guilt and rebellion. People were doing the best they could. People were following, this little partition here is here because the sin had separated us from God. And we needed a new covenant, which was always God's plan to bring us back. But this new covenant was, had some assembly that needed required in order to actually redeem us. And it was going to involve a cup. It was going to involve a cup. Now, not to belabor it, but can I tell you that just like the grass outside my mother's house and our first rented house on a slab, thank God for it, as I began to grow in my marriage, in my life, in my relationship with God, true motives that were still in the old man began to get revealed. My life was in Christ. I was completely covered in the new covenant. But there was some old man motives that got revealed in my assembly process. And my assembly process began to reveal things like, was I saved just because I didn't want to go to hell? Like my child clearly identified. Was I saved because I didn't want to be unholy or unkept? Was I in this new covenant because I wanted to please God or just please me? My confession, I was very self-aware as a child, extremely self-aware. And that self-awareness brought about a lot of self-justification. And it also brought a lot of self-correction. So even in this new covenant, the old man kept wrestling out right standing with God through works of the flesh. Taught about that a couple months ago. You guys remember that? The step? Okay, don't have to revisit that. But all of that self-awareness, self-justification, self-correction is still self-focused. And you can't have this new covenant and drink from the cup with self being the focus. You're still going to get the same fruit, guilt and rebelliousness. So what is this cup involving in our life? Each time we drink the Lord's Supper, hold the cup up. We're to remember the shedding of his blood, not the best we could do inside his covenant. We're to remember the shedding of his blood. This is how the new covenant was established. He said, "This is my new covenant." The cup he had to drink from. This contained the new covenant. It involved the assembly requirement of an innocent life, a sinless life, one mine would never measure up to. You can hold it down, Devin. A sinless life, an innocent life, a sacrifice of a criminal's death. It involved the shedding of blood, the humiliation of false accusation and torture. But because of love, he chose to drink from it. Do you remember in the garden when he said, "Father, if this cup could pass from me, if you can just take this cup back, this assembly is hard. This is a hard thing you ask, but not my will, yours be done. If this is the cup you want me to drink from, so that a new covenant can be made with your people to redeem them back to you, so be it." Now, is anybody starting to get clear on the cost for new? See, why was there a veil in the first place? Because a holy God, to even come out and reveal himself, we'd have dropped dead. Burnt up like vapor. A holy God. Anybody know? Please do not compare what I'm getting ready to compare to God. But anybody ever heard about radiation? What happens if you suffer too much radiation and you're not protected and safe? You ever go to the dentist and they get ready to x-ray you and they put something on top of you first to protect you from radiation? Would you ever put your hand in the microwave and try to cook it? No. Sounds really silly. Radiation. God's holiness. We had to have a veil. We had to have a covering. We had to have something because God wanted a relationship with his creation. And so he used his priests and he used his old for the new. And it involved a cup. And I want you to know, it was prophesied in the Old Testament, this new covenant. Let's look at Jeremiah 31. 31st verse as well. "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant which I made with their fathers when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant, which they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant which I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law," the same old covenant law. He didn't do away with it. He said, "I will take it and I will write it upon their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." So let's just do a review of the assembling. God's new covenant, his pledge to us is that he will forgive that old man. He will forgive our sins of guilt and our sins of rebellion. He's going to take his law within this new covenant, and he's going to write it upon our hearts to be our God. And his pledge is that we will be his people. This new covenant involved a cup that he had to drink from. And it's not a mere possibility. It was a new creation. This wasn't, well, maybe it'll work. No, no, no. This wasn't a maybe. This was a new creation established by God, not by something he proposed, but by something he accomplished. He accomplished it. It was always about us to redeem us back to him. So the certainty of this covenant, it does not lie in how good we are. The certainties of this covenant lie in who God is and his word and his truth. So it solved the problems of old man and guilt and rebellion. Can you come forward? This new covenant solves these two problems. By the shedding of blood, the old man can be passed. You can take, go to your seat. Old things are now past. And guilt and rebellion, I am no longer guilty. I am no longer guilty. And when I choose to stumble in rebellion, there is an advocate with Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen. So old things are past, and now we have all things being made new by this new covenant and this new cup that he is drinking from that brings about, I need another person. Come on, Karina. This new birth. Somebody say new birth. Can you stand right there? This new birth. Man, is new birth exciting. Because the new birth is all about, let's take you to the scripture, John 3 and 4. Nicodemus said to him, Jesus, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? The answer to Nicodemus's question, only if he is willing to have this new birth. And what is the cost of this new birth? I'm so glad you asked. Because in order to be born, you've got to die. Yes. Willing to die of everything in my life, my rights, my virtues, my religion, what I think is doing it, making it work for me. Willing to receive the new life. Come on, Maya. The new life that we have never experienced before. John 1 and 12 says, but as many that received him, as many as received him, to them, to us, gave him power to become the sons of God, even to all of us who believe on his name. Please understand something, that is there something in my life that unites me with Jesus? Is there anything in my life that unites me with him as a personal relationship? Let me tell you, it's not my works. That does not unite me. It's not my good intentions. That does not unite me. It is not my hope that I will be a better person. That does not unite me with Jesus Christ. Only through new birth can I have new life. Only through new birth can I have new. Somebody say the cost of new is getting expensive. Ultimately, to be born again means I see Jesus. So that person, that old man that was still wrestling about in me as I was walking out my new birth and my new life, that was so self-aware, gotta walk the straight line. Nope, it's either black or it's either white. Nope, make sure everything is in place. Cross every T, dot every I. No, you must do this if you're going to please God. That self-awareness, that self-correction, the self-justification is all self-focused. It is not new birth-minded, nor can it produce new life. So on my best day, and I'm not telling you guys anything that you don't know, but how do I wrestle this out to become new? I'm so glad you asked. John 3:3, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Am I seeking only for the evidence of God's kingdom? Or am I actually recognizing his true sovereignty in my life, which brings about the new wineskin? Let me tell you, if you are going to ever experience new life, you will have a confrontation with an old wineskin. What is that wineskin thing all about? Let me give you the short version. Can I get a new wineskin, young person, to come on up here? Come on, Joe. Thank you, Antoine. You're always so willing. Let me tell you a little bit about that. There's a quote I want to share with you. The entrance into the kingdom of God is through sharp, sudden pains of repentance, colliding with man's respectable goodness. Then the Holy Spirit, who produces these struggles, begins the formation of the Son of God in a person's life. This new will reveal itself. This new life will reveal itself in conscience repentance. God, I see my heart. I see my pride. I see my selfishness. It reveals itself in a conscience repentance followed by an unconscious holiness. What does that mean? It's never the other way around. I can't make myself holy. I don't just become holy. Quote by Oswald Chambers, just wanted to give credit. Galatians 4:19. Oh, my dear children, I feel as if I'm going through labor pains for you again, and they will continue until Christ is fully developed in your life. If anybody in the room has ever received, been born again, received new life, let me tell you something. A new wineskin will have to come about if there will be fruit of God's holiness in our life. This whole wineskin thing, really, Jesus was talking to the people of his time, and wine was a thing, and the wineskin was the container in which they poured the wine, the new wine. And as it fermented, it would burst through if it wasn't a new one, because it would have not been able to hold or contain through that fermenting process. It would burst. And so this new wineskin, does anybody see a parallel here? This new wineskin, Jesus is really talking to us, if we pay attention, about the same type of container he had to drink from. He's saying, I want to give you some new life. I want to give you some new wine, but your old container will not be able to hold it. It will not be able to fill it. No, just as I had to take a cup that represented the new covenant, I now want to offer you a new wineskin that I might fill into your container new wine. New wine, not wine you can create, not wine that you can make up, think up, not wine that you can perform. I want to put my spirit in you that will cause you to not be the best you can be, but it will cause you to see me. And when you see me, you will become like me. This is the cost of new. Let's read the scriptures. Matthew 9:16. Sorry, up there, I'm skipping around. Let's do Ezekiel 36 first. I'm sorry. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to observe my ordinances. See, this connection between the new covenant and the new birth and the death of Jesus that brings about our new life and the working of God in the hearts of us as his people through his scriptures. It's made very plain in Hebrews 13 that he would equip us with every good thing that we need to do his will. Only working what will please him.
So you can take a look at Matthew 9 about the new wineskin, because he was referring to a patch of clothing the Pharisees were trying to get. And I brought this up last week, so I'm not going to be redundant. But we talked about that as we prayed for our children back to school, that God would give us new wineskin, that we would be able to see through his eyes what he's doing in our life so that we can come into agreement with it. And so here we have this wonderful new opportunity to find out, why do we need this new wineskin? What about the process of assembly is going to hold? Why does it have to be new? Why can't I just continue to serve Jesus and live for him and do the best I know how to do? Isn't that good enough? It's just not good enough. Because then it wouldn't be new. And this was the Pharisees' problem. They had a real problem and they were offended at Jesus because they figured, well, if you're going to teach, teach us what we know and we will take your teaching and tack it on to the old. That wasn't going to work. No, it wasn't that they needed this new word from God. They needed to receive Jesus. Because Jesus was the Word made flesh. John 1, he was the Word made flesh. So to reject him was to reject God. So how are they walking around saying, why don't you fast like we do? Why don't you do what John's disciples did? Why don't you stop having lunch with sinners? Why don't you come up out of the taverns and with the tax collectors? And Jesus, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you would even know me, if you really knew who he was, you would know who I am. That's why we need new. Please understand, Isaiah 43, some great scriptures here. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. When it springs up, now that it springs up, can you even know it? Not with an old wineskin, you won't. You will criticize everybody that comes in the door with new wineskins if you don't have one yourself. You will tear them down. You will find something wrong with them, why it's not the right way, and it's not the right song, and it's not the right scripture, and it's not the right anything. So God, I want to be in agreement with what you're doing now. God doesn't apologize for anything of what he's done before. And he will never apologize for how he chose to reveal himself. But he is a right now God. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he can reveal himself to me right now as to what he's doing in my life. And guess what? It will never look like what the old man looked like. It will never be clear as long as I'm seeing through old eyes, through old wineskins. I cannot participate in what he's doing today by living through the old. We just can't. So here, in my closing, where there is new wine, there is new power. There is new freedom. Your kingdom is here. I lay down my old flames to carry your fire today. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Can I share with you one more quote from Francis Frangipane? This one of my favorite authors that taught me a lot about the cost of new. I want you to listen real closely. This is kind of a little quote of his testimony. He says, I will never forget the day I realized that both God and the devil wanted me to die, but for different reasons. Satan wanted to destroy me through slander, while the Lord wanted to use those same lies to crucify my vulnerability to man's control. I'm going to read that sentence one more time. Satan wanted to destroy me through slander, while the Lord wanted to use those same lies to crucify my vulnerability to man's control. The Lord knew a time would come when my books would bless many people.
So to inoculate me against the praise of man, he baptized me in the criticisms of man until I die to the opinions of man. He says, yes, I am accountable, but I now live only for God's pleasure. Whether I please or offend man, that is the Lord's business, not mine. That's a Selah moment. I share that with you because that is part of my testimony of new. I really have a part of my personality, not flaw, but a part of my personality wants everybody to be okay. I want everybody to get along. I wanted there to be peace, but I also like order. And so in order to get order, I gotta make sure everybody's okay. Are you okay? Cause I'm gonna have order, but I need for you to be okay. And the downside of that made me in bondage to pleasing man. Can we give our students a hand, please? Thank you. Thank you. You guys can go to your seats. This assembly process, it is not just a good idea. It's God's idea. And there's a lot of great scriptures in the sermon outline. Please take time to read them. The scripture that I want to close with, it's right behind our last point. The cost of new. Has anybody guessed it by now that the cost of new is humility? The cost of new is humility. I'm never going to be free of that old man if I think there's parts of him that can stay. I'm never going to be free of my guilt or rebellion if I find reasons to justify it. Come on, somebody. If I ask you to please know my heart, I will never receive the new covenant, the new birth, the new life, as long as I am clinging to what is old. And in the process of my relationship with God, he begins to reveal what is old. Daughter, this is an old mind. Daughter, you're seeing this through old eyes. Daughter, you're seeing things through someone else's eyes. And you're caring more about what they think than what I'm doing. You even care more about whether this hurts them than how much I love them. This scripture from James 4. I'm going to read it from the Message version because most of us can quote it from the King James version. And it just kind of says something a little different in the Message. So let God work his will in you. Yell a loud no to the devil and watch him scamper. Say a quiet yes to God and he'll be there in no time. Quit dabbling in sin. Purify your inner life. Quit playing the field. Hit bottom and cry your eyes out. The fun and games are over. Get serious, really serious. Get down on your knees before the master. It's the only way you'll get on your feet. Francis Frangipane said one more quote that's worth repeating here. The bigger I grow in God, the smaller I become. The bigger I grow in God, the smaller I become. The kingdom of God is so not like the way our minds work. The cost of new is humility. I got to become smaller in my own eyes. Not have low self-esteem. It's just bigger than low self-esteem. Not have a low self-image, but it's a bigger issue
than having great self-image. Because when I recognize that my process of new life means being formed in Him and Him being formed in me, then I become an image bearer of Christ. So it isn't about my image in the first place. I am not here to bear my image and tell you how good I am. I'm here to bear His image and tell you how good He is. And how good He can be through me to you and through you to me. This is all about Him. So God, make us smaller that you might be bigger. Help me not hold on to my self-dignity so much, so tight, that I forget how to humble myself and just say, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I repent. That's an old mind. That was an old thought. That was an old behavior. That was an old way. Help me see you through new eyes, that I become the righteousness of God by faith in Christ Jesus. We're going to close with this video, and I'm going to ask you to do some, not self-examination, but Holy Spirit examination. Do you know that self-awareness, it was a new revelation to me. Too much self-awareness and not Christ awareness is going to make me more self-focused and not Christ-focused. And so in this video, it's just a scene between Jesus and His mother. And because it's in Arabic or not our language, I'm going to ask you to read the small fine print so you can see what it's saying. And then we're going to share some testimonies in writing. Can we run that clip now and pull the lighting down?
I don't know if you know the courage that it takes to try to minimize your life to a few words, for the humility that it takes. Not explaining anything, just saying from old to new. Would you please just give them some encouragement? Thank you. And I'm going to ask you right now, I want you to just sit for one more moment. And I want you to take out your own prayer request card in the seat back in front of you. And this is your moment. This is how we overcome. By the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. And I'd like for you to take that prayer card. Can you write what's old and what's been made new? Or maybe it's time for you to write what is old and what assembling he's doing. Let's just leave it to him. I shared the words of this song that you hear playing, and I hope it's your prayer today. Where there is new wine, there is new power. There is new freedom. The kingdom is here. That means I see Jesus. I lay down my old flames to carry your fire today. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. If this is your prayer today, I'm just going to ask you to write what he's saying. And while this song plays, I'm going to ask our altar team and ministers are going to come in a moment. But everybody right now, write your own testimony. Write what you know was old, what is now new. And if you feel like you're caught in between old and new, you're in good company, because we're all still being assembled. We're still being made new as he reveals old thinking. As he reveals old thought patterns, even old beliefs. What is he making new in you? Can you turn that up a little bit? And we're just going to have this moment as our own altar call. And if you need someone to pray with you, I'm going to ask you to come forward in a few minutes. But for about 60 seconds, we're just going to let him speak to us.
Can't give you nothing but all you have given me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Jesus, Jesus, bring new wine out of me. Jesus, bring new wine out of me.
me to stand. Wherever you are today, I'm sorry for the crushing. I'm sorry for the pressing. I'm sorry for what has gouged your life with pain, with brokenness, with fear, with control. But there's new wine today. And Jesus wants to use all of who we are. He never wastes an ounce. He takes all of who we are and He takes all of who He is and He makes something so beautiful out of it. So we yield today, Lord. We want to take the caution tape off of the secret parts of our heart and our life. We want to remove all of the no trespassing signs this morning. And we want to give you permission to go in and make new wine. We want the new wineskin. We want the new mindset. We want the new belief system. Of godly beliefs to replace faulty thinking. And we ask you for your healing oil, the oil of your spirit, to heal every gaping hole, to heal every place that has been crushed, that has been gouged, that has been so weighted down with things, Lord, that happened to us and the things that needed to happen but didn't happen. We ask for the new wine. We humble ourselves. That's your cost. Submitting ourselves to you. You won't force us. You won't invade us. We have to give you permission. And in this moment, God, you see every heart. I thank you that your promises are faithful and true. And you will meet us at our point of need. You will meet us in the place that we seek you. Thank you for making all things new. Where there is pride, we ask you for humility, God. Where there is self-focus, self-justification, self-correction, we ask for Christ image, Christ awareness, Christ correction, Christ focus. We set our gaze upon you. And we thank you for making us like you. I'm asking our altar team to come now. And if you want prayer of agreement, they are here for you. Please don't leave the room without meeting God where He is willing to meet you. Can you turn that up? We're just going to sing that together.
while we were in the back, I had intended to write out my own card. And I hadn't taken the time. I was busy doing some other things. So I didn't get to write my own card out. But maybe if you are here this morning and you just need some encouragement to actually write yours out and turn that over and write out what you've seen God doing. This isn't it, what I've written down is what I really struggled with. And as I flip this over, it's where God really has me. You know, it's not made up stuff. But this is where I was in my life. I had fear, anxiety, insecurity that was medicated by porn, lust, and greed. And not only that, but it was masked by religious spirit. Covered up, masked by a religious spirit. But today I'm walking in confidence in God. I'm trusting Him. And I'm walking in purity by not my power, but by the power of His grace. By the power of His grace. And it continues to be His grace. And as my wife mentioned in the message, every time you go higher in God, the more you grow, the lower it is necessary to grow. And what happens when you go lower, you start finding out there's a little more assembly required. There's a little bit more assembly. I didn't realize I was dealing with that. But wow, thank God for your grace. Thank you, God, for your grace. Maybe you're here today and you don't know, you don't have the courage to write it out in front of everybody. What you've struggled with and where God has you now. But I would encourage you, if you don't have the courage to do that here, I so encourage you, do that. At some point before this day is over, before this Sunday, August 19th is over of 2018, go home, write out where you've been, even if it's something you're still struggling with, turn that over and write out where God now has you, even if you're still pressing towards the mark. Write it out. And while I may have done this to encourage you, listen, this encourages me. I need my own freedom when I stand up here with this microphone in my hand. I need my own freedom. But you're going to need your own freedom for the places that God takes you. And you're going to need a dose of humility. Don't let the enemy condemn you when God's trying to just humble you. Don't let the enemy condemn you when all God's trying to do is just humble you, help you remember that it's still all about Him. It's still all about Him. There are times when I feel like, oh man, we got this thing. We got it on the lock. We're going to get up there. We're going to do all of this and that. It's going to be fabulous. And then you all of a sudden you get up there and it's like, oh wow, this is bigger than what I thought it was. This is more than me. This is bigger than me. This is beyond my ability. And God, you're helping me in this moment to remember that it's all about you. God's still the one that's on the throne. And maybe you are here this morning and you just need to say, you know what? I need to write down, I once was lost, and be able to write on the other side, now I'm found. And maybe you're not able to write that because you haven't given your life to Jesus yet. Well, I'm giving you this opportunity today to just go ahead and get a piece of paper, bring it up here, pray with one of our prayer team members, and they're going to lead you in a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ yet, I'm encouraging you to do that this morning, today, right now. Amen. So if you can want to, you can come up now. If you're in need of prayer for anything that is bothering your life, that is vexing your life right now, we invite you to come, even at this moment. Maybe you don't want to write it down. Maybe you just need to pray it out. But the altar is open, as we commonly say. Our prayer team is here, and they want to pray with you. We want to pray with you to lead you in a relationship with Jesus Christ. We want to pray with you to help you to overcome whatever it is you might be struggling with. Whether you're in need of healing or just deliverance or just a breakthrough and a miracle, we want to agree with you. Amen. Oh, I love this song. Thank you, Jesus. Make us what you want us to be, Lord. Can we just lift our hands this morning? Hallelujah. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Bring the new out of us, Lord. Make our lives new wineskins, Lord. To hold new wine. To pour new wine out, Lord God. To pour out new wine, Lord. To bless your kingdom. To bless your heart. To bless others, Lord. Bring new wine out of us, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bring new wine out of us, Lord. Bless your people richly, Lord God. And make us, Lord. Give us new wineskins, Lord. Give us new wine today. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. God bless you. You can dwell in God's presence right now if you so desire. All the ladies, if you wouldn't mind just coming back at 4 p.m. today and joining us for the women's meeting that's going to be here at 4. Under construction. Under construction. Some assembly required. Amen. True words have never been spoken. Amen. Amen. So please be here at 4 for our women's meeting. And God bless you. Hug a few people before you go if you're in need of prayer, if you're in need of just dwelling in the presence of God. We're here for you right now. We'll leave the altar open so you can do so. God bless you and have a great week.